in on a Monday.
Started a new week. Got one more game left. Chicago versus Minnesota tonight. Can't wait. Got to put some skin on that one tonight.
Macaroni. Big game tonight to finish off week one. A lot on the line.
I'm excited, man.
Hey, we saw Detroit without their coordinators. They didn't look so good, right?
No,
and now you've got the coordinator going to Chicago. Let's see what he can do, you know, with Caleb Williams. It'll be interesting to see how much the coordinators are going to really impact what goes on in Detroit. We warned you about that all offseason long. It was my biggest concern about the Lions going in, was that were the coordinators really the stars of this team? And, you know, as we're going to make overreactions in week one, as we always do, and every day, right?
Sure.
You can say, yeah, obviously those coordinators were very important. I mean, you saw the Jets step up big yesterday. I mean, good God, I had no idea the Jets had that much kind of fight in them to go out there and play.
Solid,
and I mean, they were pretty good yesterday,
yeah.
Right? And so you take Aaron Glenn away from the defense, and tonight we'll see what Ben Johnson can do, you know, on an offensive standpoint from the Chicago Bears against the Minnesota Vikings. So it'll be interesting to see if you know, week one with the Lions is an anomaly, or if week one is the new Detroit Lions now that Dan Campbell lost his two kind of lieutenants, if you will.
So, fellas, let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about the loss, 27-21. Mm-hmm. Can't wait till we get to our scripts. I think the only
they went well.
I think the only thing that three of us got right was one of us got the score right, but it still doesn't matter because it was for the wrong team. So we'll start with the left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Simmons, great for you guys.
I was very pleased. Very pleased. I mean, he stonewalled the dude at one point and toyed with a guy at one point. Like, I know going forward, if that's week one, there's so much good. There's so much room to grow. I'm fine with left tackle, man. I know I don't have to worry about that anymore.
A's a nice grade. I'd give him a B-ish. Like, not minus, not plus, just a B.
Just a solid B.
Solid B.
B's good. That's fair. Look, yeah.
That's better than what we've had the last. What they say in the graphic on Friday night, this is the 11th starting left tackle with Patrick Mahomes, where all those quarterbacks that struggle to get going in the league have, like, their, you know, third year in the league on their fourth offensive coordinator. Kind of the same. This is Mahomes' ninth year in the league, and this is his 11th offensive.
That's really insane. Now, are you counting 9 years in the league of the first year he didn't play, too? Or,
well, I guess he sat his first. This is his eighth year as a starter.
Because 8 years as a starter, and it makes it even better, right? It's greater for Mahomes when you say 8 years as a starter and 11 offensive tackles. I mean, that, or 11 left tackles for him. I mean, it's nuts.
Let's name him.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
No. but could you?
Orlando Brown.
Right.
What's Kingsley Suamata'ia, Wanya Morris, Josh Simmons. And anyway, so more often this game.
Exactly. You'll forget the guy who played tackle in the Super Bowl, the first one.
Joe Tooney,
like,
Danny DeVito.
Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Oh, Stefan Wisniewski.
Yeah. Who's the guy who blew out both knees on the same play against the? He played for the Jets.
Oh,
they brought him over, and he was running down the field.
Jumbo Elliott
blew out both knees on the same play.
That
who
actually
was that
was
guy?
An offensive lineman for the Jets.
He's a giant. Jumbo Elliott was a fantastic offensive lineman. I love Jumbo Elliott. Part of the second Giant Super Bowl team. But
that's cool.
But who the hell was that guy that blew out his knees? Oh my God!
No
it was
clue.
Like both. He went down. That was it, and they had to replace him too. So there's been so many people that have played that tackle position. So after watching Saturday, Friday, whatever the hell day it was that we watched that game, I'm good at left tackle, man. I love what I saw out of Josh Simmons. I'm really excited about his future.
Don't forget, we've got the live stream for you. We've got on YouTube, you can get in there, chat it up. How everybody's doing on a Monday. Somebody said in the chat, I'm upright and breathing. So that's good, Mike.
Yeah, good.
There you go. But yeah, we dive into Josh Simmons' offense. Here's what I'll say about the offensive line. I don't need to see Juwan Taylor ever play offensive. Okay, because I'm not trying to throw strays at you.
I'm not trying to throw strays at you two.
But you both have gone on record saying that you are apologetics for
right.
him. I'm done.
I'm not apologizing for that, though.
I'm done.
You know?
Like, that's it. We cannot have that on the offensive line. Juwan Taylor, I mean, I talked to Gold about this on Saturday. I was driving to Kansas because I have to until December 1st to put some skin on the Missouri and KU game. And I'm like, hey.
Do Kansas fans have to drive to Missouri after December 1st to do the other, or is it reciprocal at that point?
No, they're just always driving to Missouri to get that spinach. You got to come to Mizzou to get the spinach.
So it's not reciprocal on December 1st.
No.
You get the gamble, we get the weed. It doesn't work that way.
And then I don't go to the quick. If you ever want to find me, by the way, on Sunday at 11 o'clock, we'll come hang out and talk about bets. Quick Trip on Null.
Oh, that's the spot. My friend Tony goes there too. Yeah, yeah, he's in that parking
right
lot across, a lot.
Because
yeah.
I always have a very big debate with myself where I'm like, okay, we could just go to Winstead's right after and then go home because it's right there.
It's right there.
Is that Row? That's Row, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah, I believe it's, so.
I think it is Row.
Yeah. Trip, there's a Quick Trip right there off Row, and it's so funny, dude. There are four random parking spots that have nothing to do with anything but betting, I promise you.
No, it's true. No, it's true. Yeah.
Pump, 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 pump. Four spots. Nothing there. And no, you cannot tell me that it's for when the semis fuel up because that's behind it. So it's
What's going to happen on December 1st? They're going to close those parking spots
down.
I'm going
to save money on gas.
you will save money on gas. That's about it, right?
So no, but my takeaway on the offensive line is that Juwan Taylor, man, you signed a guy in the offseason. The rookie won the job. Kingsley was fine at left guard. Right tackle has got to change. I mean, I'm saying like week two, because guess what? That team that you watch play Dallas, that has that same defensive line, that's got that spinner on there, they come into town at 325.
Yeah, you're going to need to have some different offensive line maneuvering going on the right side. I mean, that was bad. And look, I think you can separate what he does when he doesn't make mistakes versus the mistakes, but the mistakes overshadowed everything, you know, in that game.
It broke and Travis
it
Kelce.
It did. And rightfully so.
And props to Travis.
Props to Drew Tranquil as well. I mean, props to both of those guys for getting in the ear of veteran players and telling those guys to pick up the pace and to play a little bit better. I applaud both Drew Tranquil and Travis Kelce.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up Drew Tranquil because at the end of the game, obviously us football nerds, we go back and look at it. Chris Jones overcommitted.
Oh, big time. It was a terrible play by Chris Jones.
And the Chargers beat the Chiefs in the way that the Chiefs normally beat a lot of teams. Oh, it's 3rd and 13. All we got to do is keep this between the first down marker, and then what happens? There goes Pat. And you're like, how does he always do this? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, all night, they were letting George Karloftis overcommit and overcommit. And what did he do? Herbert just slid up into where that pocket was and then had all day to throw. He had no pressure from your defensive line.
Zero.
None. 74 the entire night. Travis Kelce had 2 catches. Congrats on your bet, by the way.
Oh, thank
Anytime
you.
Touchdown.
Yes. Plus
did
170.
Get that.
I didn't get that. No, I got that.
Credit
I got it on the board in there as well.
And I think that's probably what started
Guess who I'm picking again this week?
Why not, dude? Strike while the iron's hot. So, again, like you look at that game and you look at what they were doing and letting George Karloftis do, and it was like at the entire time, nobody was telling George, like, hey, stop going around. They're letting you have that because how many times have we seen
if it looks easy, you're not supposed to do it.
And how many times have we seen the Chiefs when they play when Bosa was on the Chargers and he would always just – and it was in the Super Bowl, too. Like, Nick Bosa would do it, too. They'd overcommit on that side, and Mahomes just slide up right there, and it creates so much time, and they take that pass rusher out. They're like, dude, we'll give you the outside. If you're going to keep taking it and keep going, we're going to give you that. And they did that all game long. And then the very end of the game, what happens? Boom. They let Chris Jones go outside. He goes way outside, and Justin Herbert takes a wide-open lane, slides down, smile on his face, and then Madison Breer and him and go have a great game night with a bottle of wine. Ain't done.
Yeah, but I think also, too, like I'm glad we're having DJ on today because years ago he was the first player to really talk to me about I've got to do my job. If I overcommit and I start trying to do the job of the guy next to me who's not getting the job done, I'm not doing my job. He's not doing his job. Now there's two less people doing their job. Chris Jones was trying to do the job of somebody else the other night. He got out of position, therefore took himself out of what he was supposed to be doing, and he owned it after the game. And I'll give him credit for that. He owned it after the game being out of position. But you can't be out of position. The NFL, man, it is a play here or a play there that makes all the difference in these games. And when you're out of position as bad as Chris Jones was the other night, and you leave that entire side of the field wide open, you lose a football game. It's one of the reasons why they lost. Juwan Taylor had 4 reasons why they probably could have lost that game. But, you know, Mac, and I'm looking at you on this one because you and I are on the same page. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a good football player, but I can't have somebody whose mistakes overshadow your ability to play the game. Like it's like being a parent. I don't have the patience for the minor mistakes. Throw your stuff away. We've asked you to do this 1,000 times. And now, since you're not doing it, now I have to levy the punishment. Regardless of how good you are at what you do, you're not putting the team in a good position. He hurt the team on Friday night.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And to go with your analogy, he's the oldest kid, right? So he's getting pointed at. He's getting emphasized. The magnifying glass is on him. I still believe he's getting unfairly pinpointed unfairly, you know, whatever. The attention is unfair to him. I watched football all day yesterday. I watched a bunch of tackles leave as early as Juwan Taylor does. But at this point, it's irrelevant what it is. It's irrelevant. It keeps happening. It needs to stop. It's ruining the Chiefs' drives. I thought Kingsley was really bad as well. I think Jalen Moore and Mike Caliendo both have a chance to be playing.
Well, and I also think, though, Mac, I mean, when Travis Kelce breaks the way that he did, you know, it's like, they've been telling this guy over and over and over and over and over and over. We don't put chicken wings in the garbage disposal. Mm-hmm. Why are there chicken wings in the garbage disposal?
It's chicken.
Why did you put the chicken? I didn't. You were the one eating the chicken wings. Why are they in the garbage disposal? Right. We don't do that. And you tell them over, and eventually you just get tired of it, and then you lose, and you blow your mind, right? And you lose your cool. And everybody goes, "Man, that guy's getting mad at his kids. Why? Because I've told you 1,000 times, this is what we need you to do." And you didn't do it. That reaction by Travis Kelce wasn't because of just that game.
No.
That's 2 years plus a game of Travis Kelce reacting to Juwan Taylor. And because of that, I wouldn't hesitate to start Jalen Moore at that right tackle position.
All right, it is 6:30 on a Monday. Let's get to some overreactions here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, you guys want me to start to really piss you off?
Sure.
Because I don't like to take credit for saying, like, well, I said it first, because I didn't say it first, but, like, I wasn't really, like, zoned in, and I didn't think it was going to take this much traction. I'll tell you what the Chiefs need to do. You go sign Tyreek Hill.
Well, he's not a free agent.
That's like horseradish.
I don't care what you do. Go get him. Go trade for him. Get him out of Miami. Bring him back to Kansas City. We haven't seen the deep ball really as effective since he left. He's clearly not wanted there. He doesn't want to be there. You need wide receiver help. I think Xavier Worthy is done for the year. Yes, I think this offense will be fine. I think they will figure things out. I'm scared about this defense. I truly am. The secondary, the pressure up front from the offensive line, by the way, playing a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the first 6 weeks of the season. You got, or I guess first 9 weeks of the season. Josh Allen will be here. Lamar Jackson will be there. Jalen Hurts is here next week at 325. Daniels from Washington will be there. They will absolutely pick you apart with no pressure. And if you're going to have to go back and try to keep up with players and keep up with teams, I think Tyreek Hill's here, and here's why. Yes, his exit was terrible. He said all these things. Look, Kareem Hunt came back. They brought Kareem Hunt back, and he did a lot worse things in season than what Tyreek Hill did. Now, I know Tyreek Hill has a pass, but again, Kareem Hunt has a pass too. They brought him back. It changed the way the offense moved. Tyreek Hill does not want to be in Miami. Miami does not want Tyreek Hill. That team is going to absolutely implode on itself probably next week. Daniel Jones went nuts on them this weekend.
They Daniel Jones looked like a Hall of Famer.
They got absolutely
destroyed
by Miami or by Indianapolis this week. At one point, I think at halftime, it was 20-0.
Yes.
There was a little garbage time touchdown at the end. But this is one of those situations that just seems too true to be, you know, looked past. I think you bring Tyreek Hill back. I think he'd be just fine. I think you could have one of those moments where, like, all the big dogs get in the office where it's Mark and it's Brett and maybe it's Clark and then Andy, and they sit there and said, all right, man, here's the deal. We're going to go back to this. We're going to need this, and here's what we can have make for this to be our offense. I think Tyreek Hill, call it overreaction if you want, which I think it is, I think Tyreek Hill belongs back in Kansas City to make this offense back to what it truly was, because guess what? You ain't got a running back, dude.
Well,
you can't run the ball.
I don't know that it's overreaction at all.
I mean, are you okay with it?
As long as they're okay with it, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm not the one that got insulted on the way out the door,
sure.
Right? I don't know what the dynamic was also after that Bengal game, at halftime of that Bengal game. Like, are they...
It's also 4 years ago.
I know, yeah. Are they repairable damages, right? Like, sometimes you leave and you burn a bridge and that is it, right?
That's fair.
I don't know if they're repairable damages, but I do know the people that I talk to around the league when I've texted about this, crickets in response. And a lot of times when you get crickets in response, kind of on to something, I think. But I think everybody was kind of having that feeling yesterday. The acquisition cost, what's it going to take to get Tyreek Hill? You're going to have to give up draft picks. You're going to have to pay for all of that. I don't care about any of that. I just want to know if it's, what's the word I'm looking for? If they can welcome him back into the locker room, like, did he do enough damage to those guys inside that locker room that they can forgive and forget and move on? Because the damage that Kareem Hunt did, he didn't really do it to his teammates, right? I don't know what was said to this day at halftime of that Cincinnati game, but it was something that was bad enough that caused them to trade basically Tyreek Hill at the end of that season and move on. And we've seen what happened since he was there. I've been thinking a lot about my overreaction for today. I could overreact to every game that has been played so yep. far in the NFL. And I'm making notes yesterday and I'm tracking some things. I'm like, I could overreact to this. I could overreact to that. I could overreact to this. I could overreact to that. And then I decided what I'm going to overreact to, right? You're cut from the mold of your parents. Russell Wilson sucks so bad. 6:14 to go before halftime in game one. The text arrives from my dad. Put in Dart. Put in Dart. And at that point in time, it. I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to have to overreact to this one.
Dad was in the maker's mark early.
I'll tell you, man, like, Russell Wilson.
He was terrible.
He was as bad as it gets. But that's the lesson that we all need to take away from Russell Wilson. And by all, I mean football fans. When an NFL team gets rid of a quarterback that has success, there's a reason why. And that guy is damaged goods. Mm-hmm. And since the Seattle Seahawks said, we're done, he's ruined Denver. He's not played great in Pittsburgh. And he stunk up the joint yesterday with the Giants. Now, they didn't commit to him for week two, which is, I guess, an overreaction maybe as well. They didn't commit to him.
Yeah.
But if you're Brian Daboll, Jackson Dart better go out there and knock him dead. Otherwise, you're speeding up your timetable, man. Because I thought for Daboll, if I'm Daboll, I'm not playing Jackson Dart at all.
No.
Self-preservation, baby.
You also played Washington.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yep.
Yep.
But again, you'll play the Chiefs in 3 weeks, and we'll see what Russell Wilson does then.
So we'll see if Jackson Dart's the starter by then. So that's what I'm – just move on from Russell Wilson. Put Jameis Winston in there. Go get Tommy DeVito again. Anybody but this guy. He is done, and it is really embarrassing to watch that guy play football right now.
No, it's evident that guy sucks, and the offensive line isn't good enough for him to create space and get time.
Well, so, he's just bailing on every play away, too. You don't know if the offensive line is any good.
It's hard to judge completely, which has always been the case for him. It's like, oh, he takes a lot of sacks. The O-line he always plays with. No, it's him.
And then apparently we don't need to get Tyreek Hill because from the 913, Worthy will be just fine. I had the same injury in college, popped it back into place, put a brace on, boom, back the next game.
But what if it's a tear? Because they are getting a second opinion on this just to make sure. So
what we know now is it's a separated shoulder. From reports, but there could be more. So they're going to be in town, get the doctors they know. So, Mac, what is your overreaction on a Monday?
Jared Goff is mid at best without an elite offensive line and elite coordinators. Jared Goff's record in starts without Sean McVay or Ben Johnson calling the plays. He is 3-17-1. Without elite play callers. He lost two offensive linemen.
Who
I mentioned
came
multiple.
Up with that stat? That's brilliant.
That's awesome. No, it's great.
That's good. I love it.
Jared Goff.
Someone said 0-19-1, and they were like, Gronk, is this true? And Gronk was like, close. 3-17-1 without Ben Johnson or Sean McVay.
Oh, so, Gronk got it for us. It wasn't Elias Sports Bureau, at least somebody reputable. We're going with Gronk, who came up with favorite 1970s movies as Wizard of Oz. But even still, I like
Gemini.
It.
Yeah. But yeah, no, exactly. So I would say, I mean, I mentioned the loss of the two offensive linemen, Zeitler and that other guy. Yeah, it showed. It showed yesterday for Goff, man. He needs time.
Kevin Zeitler was a really good hitting coach. It was tough. But again, what you told me this on, I think it was Friday, that Green Bay has a really good defense. Like their secondary
great
is
pass
top
rush.
Notch.
Yeah. Great pass rush.
You could also have an overreaction Monday with the Chiefs to say, hey, Tyron, what are you doing?
No, he's on TV now.
I'm on board on that.
We need some help in that second because Big Stick, Jaden Hicks. Eesh.
But you know what?
Tamari Connor targeted 7 times, 7 receptions for 100 yards.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But overall, this is a Spags defense. This happens all the time. And every year I find myself back here going, oh, my God, what's wrong with this defense? Because everybody's upset about the defense. His first year in New York, they gave up 72 combined points in the first 2 weeks and went on to win the Super Bowl. This is a Spags defense. It takes time. It happens every year where it starts a little bit slow. Everybody panics. Everybody loses their mind. And then they kick it in and they find a way to get better. And so Chris Jones, got to play better. Got to play better out of Chris Jones. And he will. We all know that. And they'll figure this thing out because that's what they do. So I'm not sitting here going, oh, my God, the world's over because of a week one loss. Because half the teams in the NFL are saying the world's over then. And there's teams that won yesterday that I have no faith in, like the Raiders right now.